Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Bhaktivedanta ki,
Grantharaja Srima Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Dago Premanande.
So what did we discuss in the previous class? Any other point? So it's a flute. Good. Anything else?
That makes noise when he
walks. Yeah. Nice. Okay. So tonight we'll finish chapter 12, which is verses 23 to 44. And we'll hear about the cowherd boys entering into the belly of Agasura. Now Krishna also follows them. Okay, so text number 23. The hot fiery wind is the breath coming out of his mouth, which is giving off the bad smell of burning flesh because of all of the dead bodies he has eaten. So, it is a demoniac personality. Takes the form of a snake, a huge personality. And the snake represents envy. The snake is a very frightening animal, and very sinful. To take birth as a snake is very sinful. So he's taking this. Akar literally means sinful. Akar Sura is a very demoniac demon. And his breath is like fire coming from his gastric acids, from his deep within his stomach. So his breath is hot and very unpleasant and very powerful. And he wants to cause harm to others. That's the nature of a demoniac person. And as it is described in this verse, we see that he is smelling like the dead flesh of the many creatures he has eaten. That's the nature of a demoniac person. Demoniac people, they like to cause harm to others. So he eats other people. So he is a very sinful demon. It's interesting though, we see in the remainder of this chapter what happens to him. Any points? Then the boy said, "Has this living creature come to swallow us? If he does so, he will immediately be killed like Bakasura, without delay." Thus they looked at the beautiful face of Krishna, the enemy of Bakasura, and laughing loudly and clapping their hands, They entered the mouth of the python. So. Stop playing with the door. Sit down.
After talking about the terrible animal this way and that way, they decided to enter the demon's mouth. They had full faith in Krishna because he had experienced, they had experienced how Krishna had saved them from the mouth of Bakasura. Now here is another asura, Bakasura. Therefore, they wanted to enjoy the sport of entering the demon's mouth and being saved by Krishna, the enemy of Bakasura.
So, any points there?
So much faith in Krishna, the fact that they've been through once through Bhagavad Gita, they think that Krishna will save us in any, under any circumstances.
Anything else?
When one surrender to Krishna, one does not appear.
Yeah, good point. Any other points? So it shows how much faith and confidence and Shraddha that they have for Krishna. Shraddha Shabde Vishwasha Kahi Sudrita Nishchaya Krishna Bhakti Koile Sava Kama Krita Hoya. It says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that this is the definition of faith. Krishna Bhakti. You have faith that just by Krishna Bhakti, sava karma, everything will be achieved. All activities. Everything else is achieved just by serving Krishna. We don't have to do anything else. That's complete faith. That's what sannyas means. If one is a sannyasi, he has complete faith. I don't have to do anything else. I just serve Krishna and everything will be taken care of. So we need to develop this kind of consciousness. You may not take a danda. You may not wear saffron, you may not be a sannyasi, a maharaja, but you must have that same faith. That if I just trust in Krishna, everything will be taken care of. So actually the cowherd boys, they are above sannyasi. They are paramahamsa. That means they are the topmost living entities. Because they have so much faith in Krishna. So it's not easy to have this much faith in Krishna. We don't fully trust Krishna. Hands up if you fully trust Krishna. One person fully trusts Krishna. Okay. We will test you. We'll examine you. We fully trust. Anyone fully trust Krishna? We have to learn to fully trust Krishna. But that's not easy to do. So much so that they ran into the mouth of Agasura, which is a phenomenal. You know, when would you run into a mouth of a serpent or something huge like that? I mean, it's how much faith they must have that Krishna can protect them. So this is actually the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because in the second chapter of the first canto, it describes there are 9 levels of bhakti. Beginning with? Shraddha. Finishing with? Prema. So what is prema? Prema is complete Shraddha. Right? We say someone goes from Shraddha to Sadhu Sangha to Bhajan Kriya to Anatha Nivrita like that. So what does that mean? It means each level means more Shraddha. So the more Shraddha you have, then the higher you develop in your Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, he had complete Shraddha. Therefore, he was on the level of prema. Advanced prema, because there's complete faith in Krishna. There's nothing else but Krishna. So that is the level of the cowherd boys. They're situated in prema because they have complete faith in Krishna. So it's easy to say that, but we don't all, actually most of us don't think like that. Most of us live our lives in anxiety because we don't have faith in Krishna. We worry about a lot of things. Sometimes I meet devotees and they say, oh, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. It just means we don't have faith in Krishna. That's all. Because when you have faith, then everything will happen. Prabhupada was sitting in New York in 1966.
before ISKCON was like this. There was maybe one temple, 26 Second Avenue. That was it. Matchless Gifts. So Prabhupada used to go for a walk. I don't even know if Matchless Gifts was there yet, but it was very, very early. And Prabhupada would go for a walk, and every day he'd sit in the park on the bench, and one man would also walk, and he would sit with Prabhupada. And the devotees met him later on. And he would sit there, and Prabhupada would talk to this man. And he would say, there are temples all over the world. There are devotees all over the world. Books are being distributed everywhere. But only time is separating us. And the old man used to talk to Prabhupada, just nodded and say, yeah. That's nice. He didn't think any of this was serious. Just Prabhupada talking. He liked to listen to Prabhupada, but it all came true because Prabhupada had faith, complete faith, that everything would happen. So that is Shraddha. Shraddha means like the cowherd boys of God. So when you have this kind of faith, then you go back to Krishna. You can't go back to Krishna when you're holding something in this world. As long as you're holding on to something in this world, because you have faith that that will protect you. No, but Krishna wants to say, when are you going to let go? What's the famous example we always give? Draupadi, right? Only when she let go, then Krishna came. Krishna was watching the whole time, but he didn't come until she let go. So same as us. When you let go, then Krishna comes. Otherwise. Any points? Yes, Mataji.
They had the doubt that,
you know,
they suspected that he had come to
Sonuas. Acha.
So why did they
go in his mouth and why did they inform Krishna? Because they knew
Krishna would protect
them.
Yeah, but why couldn't you tell Krishna before going that this person is bad and he has, looks like he has come to Sonuas?
Krishna was there as well.
So why did they go
after him? You have to ask them when you get there. Because I don't know. Any other point? Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who is situated as Antayami, the Super Soul, in the core of everyone's heart, heard the boys talking among themselves about the artificial python. Unknown to them, it was actually Agasura, a demon who had appeared as a python. Krishna, knowing this, wanted to forbid his associates to enter the demon's mouth. In the meantime, while Krishna was considering how to stop them, all the cowherd boys entered the mouth of the demon. The demon, however, did not swallow them, for he was thinking of his own relatives, who had been killed by Krishna, and was just waiting for Krishna to enter his mouth. Krishna saw that all the cowherd boys, who did not know anyone but him as their lord, had now gone out of his hand and were helpless, having entered like straws into the fire of the abdomen of Agasura, who was death personified. It was intolerable for Krishna to be separated from his friends and cowherd boys. Therefore, as if seeing that this had been arranged by his internal potency, Krishna was momentarily struck with wonder and unsure of what to do. So Krishna starts to have a dialogue with himself. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur discusses. So Krishna begins to think that this pastime is taking place to evoke my compassion so that I will show my love for my devotees. And then he thinks, then he becomes astonished, because he thinks, who is doing this to me? Who is making me feel this, anxiety about my devotees? So he understands it is his Leela Shakti. And he becomes astonished. Krishna becomes amazed for a moment, because he knows he's God. But then he's feeling anxiety for the boys. So he's thinking, how is it that I am all powerful, but then I'm feeling anxiety? Who is bringing this emotion? Who is making me feel all these things? And then when he realizes it's of these Leela Shakti, he becomes amazed. So his Leela Shakti, as we've explained before, she is his potency. He is Shaktiman. And from Shaktiman comes the Shaktis, the potencies. So he is the source of the potency, but he gives full control to the potency. Leela Shakti, to orchestrate his pastimes. So it's like you're a very rich man. Like sometimes we give the example like Bill Gates or someone. So he gives you his credit card, says do whatever you want. Right? Organize for me, go and buy a house for me. Go to the other side of the world, buy a house, decorate it, do everything. I will just come. So it is his Shakti, his energy. But you go and you do all the things, and then when he comes, he's like, oh wow, this is amazing. Just like Prabhupada. So Prabhupada walked into that room up there. So this house belonged to Prabhupada. Right? It's Prabhupada's money. This can't belong to Prabhupada. So. But when he walked in there, he said, oh, this is amazing. He said, is this for me? First time Prabhupada walked in, he said, is this for me? Right, so like he's amazed. So Krishna, he's amazed. He says the Leela Shakti. And he thinks, who is doing this to me? Who is making me feel like this? Who is controlling me? So it's Leela Shakti, because he gives potency. You go, you organize everything for my pleasure. And then when it happens to him, then he thinks, oh, this is amazing. So there's the interaction between Krishna and Krishna's Shakti, his energy. Any point?
Hey, answer my question.
Oh God.
That was Leela Shakti who made them go.
Yeah. She's arranging the pastime for the pleasure.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Krishna gets bewildered by his own beauty as well.
What is it?
Krishna gets bewildered by his own beauty as well.
Yeah. Good. Anything else? Text number 28. Now, what was to be done? How could both the killing of this demon and the saving of the devotees be performed simultaneously? Krishna, being unlimitedly potent, decided to wait for an intelligent means by which he could simultaneously save the boys and kill the demon. Then he entered the mouth of Agasura. What are the bundle for?
Krishna is known as Ananta Virya Sarvajna because everything is known to him. Because he knows everything perfectly well, it was not difficult for him to find the means by which he could save the boys and at the same time kill the demon. Thus he also decided to enter the demon's mouth.
So what is that?
Isn't it contradictory that he felt anxiety first? But in this, it says that Krishna knows everything. So he would know that this is going to happen. Why did he feel anxiety?
So what is that called?
Contradiction.
Yeah. So that's what it is. So try and work it out. Not possible. How do you work that out? He knows everything and yet he's confused. So how do you work that out? How do you know everything and still be confused? That you can do both at the same time.
Yeah,
a ginger shark. So I mean, it's inconceivable, but that's Krishna. So try and work it out. You have to go to one side or the other. You have to either go to the Aishwarya side, where you stay conscious of his being supreme, which is Vaikuntha, or you go to the Madhurya side, where you forget about him being supreme, and that's Vrindavan. So you have to choose. You have to start directing your consciousness to one or the other. Any point?
Are you going to worship Lakshmi Narayan or Radha Krishna? So you're going to worship Radha Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan or Radha Krishna? So you have to start directing your consciousness in a particular direction. That's what the 10th canto is about. These are the Vrindavan pastimes. These are going to finish very soon. This year we'll probably only get to chapter 24 or something. Then halfway through next year, Vrindavan's finished. So get absorbed now, because this is the chance, this is the opportunity. Because after that, then Krishna goes to Mathura and then he goes to Dwarka. So now is the opportunity we have to start making our consciousness go towards Vrindavan consciousness. Do it now while you've got the opportunity. Beginning. It doesn't mean we're going to attain Vrindavan, but let's start going in that direction. A particular mood. Vrindavan's a particular mood. Any other point? That's up to you. Yeah, but in your heart, it's up to you what your mood is. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
No, just when you say that it would be too boring, it would just be kind of knows everything that is going to happen. So, I mean, not that I fully understand this, but I guess it helps. Like, if Krishna allows himself to just kind of like forget things or pretend that he's confused about what to do, just kind of like add a little bit more excitement.
No, he's actually absorbed in all this. He's absorbed. It's not like he's thinking, I'm God, but, you know, like that. He's absorbed in the whole thing. Otherwise, he can't enjoy himself. He has to get fully absorbed. Yogamaya, she influences him so that he forgets his supremacy, so he can absorb himself. Otherwise, there's no enjoyment for him. When Krishna entered the mouth of Agasura, the demigods, hidden behind the clouds, exclaimed, "Alas, alas." But the friends of Agasura, like Kamsa and the other demons, were jubilant. So, the demigods, they were watching the pastime. Krishna goes into the mouth of Agasura. But the demigods see him as Narayan. So they see him as being the supreme person. They don't see him like an ordinary boy. They see him like, this is God. But then when he goes into the mouth of Agasura, it's just natural, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains, that you feel some anxiety. Maybe you know someone's very powerful, but when you see they're in danger, you feel anxiety. That's natural. So they say, alas, alas. So they know he's supreme. They know there's no danger. But when they see him suddenly go into it, they think, oh. So they get this is affection. So in Vrindavan, everyone in Vrindavan gets covered by affection for Krishna. So in their affection, they forget. That's what happens. The prema overwhelms them. And they just forget that he's God. And they just become absorbed in anxiety. We'll see in the chapters that come, Kaliya, all these pastimes. They become absorbed like that. So Kamsa had spies. So the spies saw that Krishna went into the mouth. So they went back to Kamsa and they said, Krishna's gone into the mouth of Agasura, he's finished. And Kamsa said, at last. He's powerful. And now he's dead. Like that. But then the spies come back later and say, no, he's still there. Agasura's gone. So Kamsa is terrified. Every time I send someone, you know, I think he's dead, and then they keep saying he's just, he's gone. When does he kill Kamsa? Which chapter? It's later on. Chapter, it's in the 40s.
when he goes to Mathura, he goes, but when he kills Kamsa, that's really good. That's really good.
Drags him all the way around the wrestling arena by the hair.
Just drags him around. Shows everyone. Just drags him all the way around. It's coming. I'm trying to have a serious class and you have to come up with this. Every time. You have to always say these things. Just let me be serious, Mataji. When the invincible Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, heard the demigods crying, "Alas, alas," from behind the clouds, he immediately enlarged himself within the demon's throat just to save himself and the cowherd boys, his own associates, from the demon who wished to smash them. So, oh, wait, there's a purple one. Sorry, the purple one. Sri Chaitanya?
Such are the acts of Krishna, Parikrama and Sadhuna, Vinashaya Chatashkritam, Bhagavad Gita 4.8. By enlarging himself within the throat of the demon, Krishna suffocated and killed him, and at the same time saved himself and his associates from the imminent death, and also saved the demigods from lamentation.
So, what are the points?
So is Krishna's intelligence and his power of potency.
Yeah, it shows that he's all powerful. We see that on all the previous demons that were killed, Putana, Shakata, Trinavata, when he delivered Manigriva, Nalakavara, Bakasura, Vatsasura, when he's killed everyone so far, during those past times he remains in his own form. Because parents are present or like that. So he just stays normal. He doesn't want to break everyone's bar. But here he's inside the snake. So the parents aren't around. And all the cowherd boys have fallen unconscious because they're inside, there's like all this poison vapor and everything, and the heat. So all the cowboys just go, oh, they're falling down. So now he thinks, okay, now I really show this dude. He doesn't have to expand himself. He can just do it as a little, stay in his normal form. But now he thinks, let me show some power. Right? So he makes himself huge. Right? So what does Agasura do? Agasura is also very powerful, so he makes himself bigger. He's like already big, and then Krishna makes himself big, so that he makes himself bigger. And he thinks, now what will you do? And Krishna says, he makes himself bigger. And he crushes him, he just gets so big that he's pushing inside of him. And his eyes come out of his head. He just like crushes him. So Krishna's enjoying, because he can really show his potency in this way. He's powerful. Any points? Then, because Krishna had increased the size of his body, the demon extended his own body to a very large size. Nonetheless, his breathing stopped, he suffocated, and his eyes rolled here and there and popped out. The demon's life air, however, could not pass through any outlet, and therefore it finally burst out through a hole in the top of the demon's head.
So the demon attained perfection, Vishnu Chakravartakal mentions. He attains the final destination. So that'll be described as we go through the chapter. His soul shot out of the top of his head. And then we see what takes place. When all the demon's life air had passed away through that hole in the top of his head, Krishna glanced over the dead calves and cowherd boys and brought them back to life. Then Mukunda, who can give one liberation, came out from the demon's mouth with his friends and the calves.
beauty.
So, Krishna makes everything in Vrindavan auspicious.
And it mentions the body of the snake stayed there. And then it just turned into like skin and like bones.
But the advantage was the cowherd boys, they kept playing there in the months that followed and the weeks that followed and the years that followed. They kept going back there. And it was like a huge cave. And it was like a, because of the bones, and they could climb up, but it was like they had this whole transcendental playground that they could go and play in. So they enjoyed so much. And whenever they went back, and they said, remember when Krishna killed this demon, Agasura? And they used to climb all over the snake. So whatever Krishna does, it becomes auspicious. Sometimes in your life, Krishna is doing something to you and you don't understand why. Do you ever get that feeling? Anyone know what I'm talking about here tonight? Sometimes he does like that. You don't know why he's doing it to you. And you don't like it very much. Has it ever happened to you? You don't like it, but Krishna's doing it to you. Why is he doing this to you? Because he's going to give you something very auspicious. But he's just testing you first. He wants to see what is your mood. Because what does it say? We're going to meet in the 14th chapter. I think we're two chapters away now. Two chapters away, you have very famous verses. Where Lord Brahma says that even when you're going through distress in this material world, does anyone here go through distress in the material world? Everybody? Everyone in the room go through distress? Brinda, distress? Yeah? Everyone? Distress? She's the only one. She's still good. Distress? Chaitanya? Distress? There's a couple. They're not old enough yet to understand what's going on here. Everyone else is going through distress in the material world. But it's interesting because Lord Brahma says, when you're going through all of that distress, if you still think of Krishna in your heart favorably, this is the test. This is when you know you're becoming Krishna conscious and you're making some advancement. You're going through it, you say, Krishna, actually I don't mind. If this is what you want me to go through, then let's go through that. But I just want to serve you. And when you have that favorable mood towards Krishna, even in your most difficult situations, Lord Brahma says you become Dayabak. Dayabak means it becomes your rightful heir. You become the rightful heir, or it becomes your privilege, or your, how do you say it?
Right.
Your right, yeah. Yeah. Your claim to go back to Godhead. But you have to stay favorable to Krishna under all circumstances. It's easy to be favorable to Krishna when you have gulabs in your mouth. Like, you know, you're eating gulabs, you think, yeah, this Hare Krishna movement is fantastic. You know, I'm glad that I joined. You know. Yeah, you're thinking like that at the moment. Then as soon as something difficult happens, right, then what do you think? You still think, oh yeah, I'm happy. A real devotee is happiness and distress. Krishna says that in the Gita from the very beginning, chapter 2. Happiness and distress, victory and defeat, loss and gain. You're still the same all the time. That's actually devotional service. Lord Shiva says, whether you're in hell or heaven, you're the same. You just want to serve Krishna. So when you're on that level of consciousness, then you go back. So it means that when something distressful, that means Krishna's going to give you something auspicious if you pass the test. So you don't have to worry. It's easy to say all these things, but this is actually Krishna consciousness. So, any points?
When we go through distress, the situation, if we are not favorable, the situation, the misery will not be reduced by not thinking favorably of Krishna. The situation will be same. But how we react, that will be noticed.
What do you mean favorably means that it's very natural that when you are distressed, you tend towards Krishna more intensely. You know, you look towards Krishna, that pain helps too. Because the first thing comes up is that please relieve me from this distress. So is it a symptom of favorably, or isn't that very natural, at least in this state of mind, and it goes for this, that please Krishna help me?
Yeah, I mean, it's explained that when your life is being threatened, then you say, Krishna, Krishna. So then Jiva Goswami says, that's not really pure devotional service, because you're praying to protect your material body. But then he says it's not against pure devotional service. So if you're just saying to Krishna, remove the distress, and then when the stress is gone, then you just like, okay, now. You forget Krishna. But if you say to Krishna, Krishna, this is very difficult. Protect me, help me. But then when that distress is gone, then you say, okay, now I can really serve you. I can focus. So, you know, it depends on your mood, why you're praying like that. Any points? Okay. So which verse we up to?
33.
From the body of the gigantic python, a glaring effulgence came out, illuminating all directions, and stayed individually in the sky until Krishna came out from the corpse's mouth. Then, as all the demigods looked on, this effulgence entered into Krishna's body. Paya, you want to read them?
Apparently the serpent named Agasura, because of having received association with Krishna, attained mukti by entering Krishna's body. Entering the body of Krishna is called Sayujya Mukti, but later verses prove that Agasura, like Danta Vakra and others, receive Swarupya Mukti. This has been broadly described by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur with references from the Vaishnava of Srila Jiva Goswami. Agasura attained Sarupya Mukti, being promoted to the Vaikuntha planets to live with the same form and bodily features as Vishnu. The explanation of how this is so may be summarized as follows. The effulgence came out from the python's body and became purified, attaining spiritual Sudha Sattva, freedom from material contamination, because Krishna had stayed within the serpent's body even after the serpent's death. One may doubt that such a demon, full of mischievous activities, could attain liberation of Sarupya or Sarujya, and one may be astonished about it. But Krishna is so kind that, in order to drive away such doubts, he had the effulgence, the individual life of the python, wait for some time in its individuality, in the presence of all the demigods. Krishna is full of effulgence, and every living being is part and parcel of that effulgence. As proved here, the effulgence is in every living being is individual. For some time, the effulgence remained outside the demon's body individually and did not mix with the whole effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti. The Brahman effulgence is not visible to material eyes. But to prove that every living being is individual, Krishna had this individual effulgence stay outside the demon's body for some time, for everyone to see. Then Krishna proved that anyone killed by him attains liberation, whether Sayujya, Sarupya, Samitya or whatever. But the liberation of those who are on the transcendental platform of love and affection is Vimukti, special liberation. Thus the serpent first entered the body of Krishna personally and mixed with the Brahman effulgence. His merging is called Sayujya Mukti, but from later verses we find that Agasura attained Sarupya Mukti. Text 38 explains that Agasura attained a body exactly like that of Vishnu. And the verse after that also clearly states that he attained a completely spiritual body like that of Narayan. Therefore, in two or three places of Bhagavatam has confirmed that Agasura attained Sarupya Mukti. One may then argue, how is it that he mixed with the Brahman effulgence? The answer is that as Jai and Vijay are three births, again attained Sarupya Mukti. An association with the Lord, Agasura received a similar liberation.
So, what are the points now? Generally, the demons, they merge into the Brahma Jyoti, so they're getting Sayuja Mukti. Generally, they don't usually get higher. Yeah. Although in Krishna's pastimes, quite a few of them are getting extra.
Is it that because
Technically, the reason, it'll be explained in a few verses as to why it happens. But the general point which is being made here is that he attains Sarupya, which means Krishna was pleased. So when there's an element of pleasure in the service for Krishna, then he gives far more reciprocation. Because there is something being done by Agasura which is pleasing to Krishna. So if you go back to the pastime of Putana, there was something pleasing. What was the pleasing element? Yeah, it's like there's some motherly feeling there. Even though really most of it was demoniac, but there was some motherly feeling. But what happens is that when someone gets close to Krishna, even though they're demoniac, but when they get close, he overrides them. In other words, he is so transcendentally attractive, even though they're coming with demoniac intention, but everything can change very quickly. And this is what happens sometimes for a devotee at the time of death, that even though we're not perfect in our Krishna consciousness, but just in those final moments, as you begin to approach the moment of death, Krishna may, by mercy, he may manifest. He may just take away all your material desires instantaneously, just by his attractive quality. This may happen. Right? Everything can speed up in a matter of moments. The last couple of moments, the rose can just transcend. So that's what's happening to Agasura. Right? He's coming, he's so demoniac and envious, and he wants to kill Krishna, but when he actually sees him, transformation takes place. Same as Putana. Right? She was demoniac, but then when she actually got there and she saw him, then something awoke. Now, and Prabhupada explains on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, all the warriors, when they were killed by Arjuna, the last thing they saw was Krishna, and because there was some attraction, then they all went to Krishna. That is the potency. That Krishna is all attractive consciousness.
When the cowherd boys were entering into the mouth, because of the association with the cowherd boys, for a moment really he felt affection for them. And due to that affection, he in a very favorable way, you know, because he was affectionate towards cowherd boys, that Krishna magnified, and then due to that reason, that one moment of affection, like momentary affection for Krishna, he got this Swarupya emotion. But that's what I heard in the picture, that because of his association with the cowherd boys, for momentarily he was that affection for that. And then later, the cowherd boys enjoyed the it is dead body, became a playful place for them.
Yeah, that part is mentioned by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur about them getting the association with her. He doesn't mention that. Maybe one of the other commentaries maybe mentions that. I haven't read that, but yeah, it sounds logical. There must be somewhere there in the commentaries. Any other point?
So it has a very fine potential.
Yeah. Okay. Thereafter, everyone being pleased, the demigods began to shower flowers from Nandana, Kanana. The celestial dancing girls began to dance, and the Gandharvas, who are famous for singing, offered songs of prayer. The drummers began to beat their kettle drums, and the Brahmanas offered Vedic hymns. In this way, both in the heavens and on earth, everyone began to perform his own duties, glorifying the Lord. Mitesh, you want to?
Everyone has some particular duty. The Shastras concluded, Nirupita, that everyone should glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his own qualifications. If you are a singer, always glorify the Supreme Lord by singing very nicely. If you are a musician, glorify the Supreme Lord by playing music instruments. The purpose of life is to satisfy the personality of Godhead. Therefore, beginning from this earth up to the celestial kingdom, everyone engaged in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The decision of all great senior persons is that whatever qualifications one has acquired should be utilized to glorify the Supreme Lord. Learned sages has definitely concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, austerity, Vedic study, sacrifice, the chanting of hymns, and charity is found in the transcendental descriptions of the qualities of the Lord, who is defined in the choice poetry, Bhagavatam 1.5.22. This is the perfection of life. One should be trained how to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's respective qualities. Education, austerity, penance, or in the modern world, business, industry, education, and so on, all should be engaged in glorifying the Lord. Then everyone in the world will be happy. Krishna comes therefore to exhibit his transcendental activities so that people may have the chance to glorify him in every respect. To understand how to glorify the Lord is actual research work. It is not that everything should be understood without one. That is condemned. Without Bhagavad Bhakti, without glorification of the Supreme Lord, whatever we have is simply a decoration of the Supreme Lord.
Okay. What points are there? So Prabhupada says you have to glorify according to your adhika or your qualification. So Srila Prabhupada said that everyone is good at something. Well, some people are good at many things, but whatever you're good at, then you need to use that to glorify Krishna. So whatever your talent is, everyone has different talents. Some people can speak about Krishna very nicely, so then speak about Krishna. Some people can do kirtan very nicely, then do kirtan for Krishna. So take your abilities. You make the flower garlands, or dress the deities, or good at cooking, or if you're good at making money, whatever you do, but then you do that for Krishna. And that way you purify your consciousness. So Prabhupada said, take your talent, whatever you're good at, and then you do that for Krishna, you become perfect in this lifetime. Samsiddhi Hari Toshanam. All your material abilities, use them in Krishna's service, and then you can transcend the material world. So Gandharvas, they're good at doing with it, so they did it for Krishna, they become purified. Hare Krishna.
I was saying the other day that one of the Maharaj who is in Gurukul or something, that he said, if you keep your voice turn for some time, then you can see what is
future.
Yeah. Yeah, for 2 weeks. And then you can see what the boys do. Yeah.
There's an interesting point here which says we have to do our research. You know, we have to search that what we are like we said, we could think that we are good at this apparently. But Prabhupada says, and what is the process of that, right? This was like the guidance of devotees and
yeah, of course. You have to ask everyone around you. There's like some devotees, they like to lead kirtan all the time, but their voice is terrible. Yeah, they like to get, they always run and they grab the microphone and they do it like that. So, yeah, at this time, you have to say, Prabhuji, maybe let someone else lead the kirtan. If you're really doing it for the pleasure of the devotees, then ask the devotees. You know, you're always running and grabbing the microphone. Do the devotees, and all the devotees are, oh my gosh. So then you need to ask the devotees what they want. You don't just go and do the service, but what do the devotees indicate to you? Prabhupada says the guru knows the psychophysical makeup of the disciple. So the guru, the senior Vaishnava, they will direct. Yeah, you do like that, you do like that. You're good at doing that, but they don't want you to do that. They want you to do some other service. So whatever they direct, then you can do. Because like Sataputta Prabhu, he's a brilliant scientist. So when he joined, they gave him the service to dig the holes in New Vrindavan. So he's out there first couple of days with a shovel, you know, digging the holes and everything. And then someone came to him and they said, so what do you do? He said, oh, I'm a PhD scientist. So they went back to the leaders and they said, hey, get him out. What's he digging the hole for? And then he went, he wrote books and he made documentaries and all these things. So when the devotees tell you, do that service, then you do that. If the guru gives you the service, he also gives you the ability to do the service, to perform the service, to be successful in the service. So you just do whatever the guru asks and you'll become successful. Which one?
There's a service going on here right away. You can see it.
Yeah. Yeah, so whatever you're instructed, then you do that. Hey, Krishna says in the Gita, better to perform your own duty than another person's duty perfectly. So you go off and do something, oh, I want to do that, but what did the devotee ask you to do? That's the point. When Lord Brahma heard the wonderful ceremony going on near his planet, accompanied by music and songs and sounds of jai, he immediately came down to see the function. Upon seeing so much glorification of Lord Krishna, he was completely astonished. So this is the beginning of the Brahma Vimohana Lila. Lord Brahma is up there, and then he sees everyone else's. But then he comes down, what's going on? And he becomes covered. And then he enters down, and then the whole pastime takes place. O King Parikshit, when the python-shaped body of Agasura dried up into merely a big skin, it became a wonderful place for the inhabitants of Vrindavan to visit, and it remained for a long, long time. This incident of Krishna saving himself and his associates from death and of giving deliverance to Agasura, who had assumed the form of a python, took place when Krishna was 5 years old. It was disclosed in Brajabhumi after 1 year as if it had taken place on that very day. So why did Agasura become liberated? Because he provided a play place for the cowherd boys. So the cowherd boys were excited when they went into his mouth. They thought, oh wow, this is far out. It's like if you go to the theme parks when you're a kid, you go to Luna Park. When I haven't been there for, you know, 30 years or 35 years, but I remember when I was a kid, we used to go in there, it was some dark place. You go in there and then they jump out at you or something. Yeah, like that, like the Train of Terror or something like that. Yeah, when you're a kid. So, you know, when you're a kid, it's like, you know, you go and then like, they jump out, like that. Like that. And then it's like, you know, and you become like, wow, like that. So you really enjoy it. You like that? It's good fun. You don't like it. So we used to go through, used to like it. You know, it's like, so the cowboys are like that. This big snake mouth. And they run in and it's all dark and they're like, you know, and they're all having fun. So because of that, you know, this is what Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur says, because Agasura did some service for the cowherd boys, he gave them some pleasure, then Krishna was happy. So he said, okay, go back to the spiritual world. So he delivered him. And just a little bit of service. Even he didn't. Yeah, and then his attitude changed. He became attracted to the cowherd boys, attracted to Krishna. And because of that little bit of change, then Krishna delivered him, which is the potency of bhakti. So it shows if we are favorable towards Krishna in our service, we can go back to the spiritual world. If you do your service favorably, Krishna is seeing, are you doing it favorably? Even through all the tests, are you doing it favorably? And if you keep doing it favorably, then you transcend.
Scorpions and snakes are usually just the symbol of envy. You know, like they call them political envy. So, like, actually, we do a favor if we kill them. But it's like it starts from the concept of the devotee because we are all no buyer and that. Like, we struggle with that.
So, what's the question?
No, no, just thinking about the being on a snake as well as for liberation.
Yeah. Yeah, he was sinful, but he did something good. He gave some pleasure to the cowherd boys, then Krishna said, okay, that's enough. Same as Putana. Putana came to kill him, but because there's a little bit of good there, then Krishna, he liberated. So if you're a good person, then Krishna will give you some benediction. Hare Krishna.
It's good to serve the Vaishnavas.
Good to serve the Vaishnavas, yes. Especially your teacher. Lots of sweets.
Yeah.
Where's the mola? Sweets. I'm sick of all the talk. Krishna is the cause of all causes. The causes and effects of the material world, both higher and lower, are all created by the Supreme Lord, the original controller. When Krishna appeared as the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, he did so by his causeless mercy. Consequently, for him to exhibit his unlimited opulence was not at all wonderful. Indeed, he showed such great mercy that even Agasura, the most sinful miscreant, was elevated to being one of his associates and achieving Sarupya Mukti, which is actually impossible for materially contaminated persons to attain. If even only once or even by force one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, he can attain the supreme salvation by the mercy of Krishna, as did Agasura. What then is to be said of those whose hearts the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters when he appears as an incarnation, or those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss for all living entities, and by whom all illusion is completely removed? Sri Suta Goswami said, O learned saints, the childhood pastimes of Sri Krishna are very wonderful. Sorry, I just lost my page. The childhood pastimes of Sri Krishna are very wonderful. Maharaj Parikshit, after hearing about those pastimes of Krishna, who had saved him in the womb of his mother, became steady in his mind and again inquired from Shukadeva Goswami to hear about those pious activities. Maharaj Parikshit inquired, O great sage, how could things done in the past have been described as being done at the present?
Lord Sri Krishna performed this pastime of killing Agasura during his Kumara age. How then, during his Pauganda age, could the boys have described this incident as having happened recently? So what's the answer? Because they're out in the fields, Krishna kills Agasura, Rama comes down, steals everyone, which we'll begin to hear tomorrow night. And then for 1 year, all the boys are gone, Krishna has to expand. By the time the boys come back a year later, then they go back into Vrindavan, and then they tell everyone, oh, Krishna killed Agasura. So this happened 1 year ago, but no one hears about it for a year. O greatest yogi, my spiritual master, kindly describe why this has happened. I am very much curious to know about it. I think that it was nothing but another illusion due to Krishna. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says everything is happening because of Yoga Maya. She facilitates Krishna's pastime, his Leela Shakti. She covers Balaram even. We're here in the next pastime. This next pastime establishes Krishna as the Supreme Lord, because even Balaram is covered for 1 year. Yoga Maya even covers Lord Balaram, Krishna's potency. And even the potency can cover Krishna if Krishna allows. So the Leela Shakti is facilitating all of this. Krishna's Yoga Maya potency. So Krishna can enjoy killing Agasura, bewildering Brahma, all of these different pastimes. O my Lord, my spiritual master, although we are the lowest of Kshatriyas, we are glorified and benefited because we have the opportunity of always hearing from you the nectar of the pious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what is the mood of Maharaj Parikshit? Yeah, he has two qualifications. One is he's eager. The second is he has proper humility. Yeah, because he describes himself the lowest of the Kshatriyas. No? Because he put the snake around the neck of Sringi. Samipya, yeah. Sringi was the son. No? So he insulted the Brahmanas. So he's considered, I've committed an offense, I am low. So that's the qualification, actually, to hear the Bhagavatam. You have to feel like that. You have to feel like that. When you feel like that, then you're qualified. That's the qualification to hear Bhagavatam. So he's very eager, but he also feels I'm not qualified. And that is the level of Bhava Bhakti. Bhava Bhakti means there is great hope that Krishna will deliver me, but at the same time, I'm not qualified to be delivered. So there's a tension in devotional service. We have to feel that tension. We don't feel it yet. But as you advance, that tension will come. I want it, but I'm not qualified to have it. And the more you want it, the more you realize you're not qualified. When that feeling starts coming, then you're advancing. Maharaj Parikshit. So the page keeps spinning. Suta Goswami said, O Shaunaka, greatest of saints and devotees, when Maharaj Parikshit inquired from Shukadev Goswami in this way, Shukadev Goswami, immediately remembering subject matters about Krishna within the core of his heart, externally lost contact with the actions of his senses. Thereafter, with great difficulty, he revived his external sensory perception and began to speak to Maharaj Parikshit about Krishna Katha. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says he becomes like in a trance, and he loses. And then you'll see on the inner cover, when you look on the inner cover of the Bhagavatam, you see Shukadev speaking to Parikshit, and you see just behind, there's Vyasa and Narada.
Narada is, Vyasa is the father, and Narada is the guru of the father. So when they see he goes into a trance, he stops speaking, they start saying, Hari, Hari, they begin to chant loudly. Right? And then he comes out of the trance, and then he begins to speak again. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the Bhagavatam can't be finished. So he goes into ecstasy. Prabhupada sometimes did that. There's pastimes where Prabhupada just became stunned. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. So